Welcome to Real Career Talk. I am your host, Phil Perquet. Real Career Talk is a monthly podcast brought to you by the network where we bring you internal and external experts who will share critical career advice to our audience. On this episode, I am honored to have with us Cher Jones, the founder of Socially Active, a corporate social media company, training company that specializes in personal branding for the hybrid workplace and exploring what holds people back from career success. Thinking about 2022, this aligns perfectly with our network pillars, which are executive presence, career management, and even strategic thinking. All three of these pillars require conscious and continuous planning on our parts. So I have to say that I am ecstatic to have Cher here, who's going to share strategies on how to develop executive presence and career management here with us on today over the next few moments. Let's talk about Cher for a few. She actually teaches leaders, consultants, and experts on how to develop a professional digital presence that makes people want to work for them, want to work with them, and even in some instances, even promote them. She leverages over 20 years of PR, marketing, and broadcasting experience while tapping into her love of technology, which hopefully we will see on full display today. Over the years, she's worked with many corporations like Rogers, HP, Lockheed Martin, Ontario Ministry of Education, and even BlackBerry. LinkedIn's editor in chief publicly recognized Cher as a creator to watch and hired her as an official LinkedIn learning instructor. She's got a lot on her plate. She's the creator of the popular LinkedIn live series called Hashtag Just Ask Cher, the producer and co-host of Icons and Insights, podcast featuring leaders from the tech industry. And finally, she is currently the host of the Black Professionals Weekly Global Masterclass Series. Cher, it's so good to have you here today.
Phil, it is wonderful to be here with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Ready to have some fun?
Oh, absolutely. I'm ready. You ready?
I'm ready for you, Cher. Now, before we dive into the formalities, let's just take a moment, breathe, and I got to ask you, tell the audience, if you wanted to share one thing to the audience that they can't find on Google, and they can't find on LinkedIn, and they can't find it on YouTube, what would it be about you, Cher?
Ooh. That is a really good question, because it's interesting. I don't share a lot of stuff. I share a lot of stuff, but when it comes to the personal stuff, what don't I share? Wow, I don't know. You stumped me on that one. I mean, what?
Okay, let me help you. All right, so it's springtime. Favorite activity in spring is?
It is hiking. Right now, when the earth is wet and stuff like that, but it's like I've been in hibernation. And it's been cold over here. So just to be able to get out, smell the air, come back in, smelling like outside, jump in the shower is all good. But the fact that you get to just be outside again and not too worried about how much you're going to freeze, I absolutely love that. So thank you for helping me out with that question, because maybe not a lot of people know about that, because I don't think you can Google that fact. There you go, Phil. You already got my back.
So I'm ready. Awesome. I'm ready. I got you. So hiking. I got to ask you, furthest distance that you hiked is?
Maybe.
Wait a minute. She's going to take that all back in just a second.
I know. Because you know what it is? I'm doing the conversion. I'm thinking kilometers. And I'm like, what is that in miles? So if I tell you in kilometers, I'm going to say about 15 kilometers. And I have no idea what that is in miles, but I know it's long enough that I was outside. I was hot. I was sweaty. Yes. And I came back and I was good to go. And I had water. I brought the water, and that's why I was able to take it so long.
All right. That's so awesome. You know what? Cher, hiking, that audience, y'all know Cher is out there hiking somewhere. And somewhere. She's enjoying it. That's the beautiful thing. All right, Cher, you ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's do
this. We only have a few minutes, so let's get into our theme. We talked about our theme earlier, and I want to focus on two items today. Feeling stuck in a career, when a person feels stuck in their career, and then changes that they might have to make with maybe branding that might help them further or progress their career along. Is that okay?
Love it. Love it.
All right. So I want you to think about you, your next client. Your next client says, Cher, I don't know what it is, but I think I'm feeling stuck. Mm-hmm. And you have to ascertain what that looks like, what that means for that particular client. You got a camera set up following them along. Talk to me about what do you think that you're seeing that makes a person feel stuck in their career? What are the signs?
You'll see that whole monotony. They're doing the same thing all the time and they're just tired of it. A lot of it, they're doing it by rote. They're not even thinking about what they're doing. They're just executing. And usually when people are not tapping into what makes them awesome anymore, either they once were and it's just no longer challenging them, you see that change in their disposition and how they communicate, if there's any level of excitement, or are they just checking things off of a list, right? And getting it done and moving on to the next. So you see that just that deflated energy, things may be getting done, but there's no excitement in that. And so I would say that would be the biggest like dead giveaway red flag, that just people are not feeling the way they need to feel. And then, I mean, there's other things around, you know, it could be coworkers, it could be not the right team. They're just not inspired in the place that they are. So there's different things, but I guess all of that comes back down to their feeling, their mindset, because that when you change the way you see things, the things around you change. So even if you're in a place where you're stuck, you can get unstuck in the same job, or you might have to move. It's a mindset shift. And there's so many determining factors as to which option you option out.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about one of those determining factors. So say that, and I want to shift a little bit. So let's talk about that for a moment. I'm feeling stuck. Talk to me about a time where you ever felt in your career where you felt stuck, you felt, let's use the word trapped, and also you felt the need to stay there. Mm-hmm. You know, let me just put it in I remember a friend of mine who highly influential gospel family singers. And they felt connected to their family and so forth. And they felt that they had the opportunity to grow, develop, move, progress, move forward, and expand their career in that venue. However, they were tied. You get that? They were tied. So they felt a need to maintain. What are the signs that you notice when you are in that moment, and what should a person do to get out of it?
One of the things the signs that you're in the moment, I think it comes back to, you're doing something and you're no longer excited about it anymore, right? You're doing things and you resent what you're doing. You resent the ask when, especially when they're basic asks that people are asking you to do things and you resent it. You're just like in this mode of, I've given you all I got. Mm-hmm. And you may be in that mindset where this is all you can give in this current space. So I would say those are two really easy ways to determine that something's got to give, something's got to change. But then it's about thinking. So sometimes there's a reflection of, what haven't I done that I said I always wanted to do, that I haven't had the opportunity to explore, right? So there's that piece, and that could be a completely divergent into it, like you're diverging into an entire new area. The other thing is, what are the things I actually love about my job or what I'm doing where I need to do more of it? Recognizing what energizes you, then also recognizing what's not for you anymore, whether it was never for you or it completely drains you. And that you have to do that introspection piece, because sometimes it may be a decision that this job, unfortunately, includes a lot of the stuff that you don't want to do. And then it's time to make a move. But there are ways to explore how to do that so that people then associate, and this comes into the discussion that we're probably going to get into around the branding piece, is making sure that people are developing a reputation, or what we call now a brand, for what they love to do, and positioning that in a strategic and intentional way so you can get more of that.
Mm-hmm. Let me give you another one. So you have, this is good. Introspection is necessary in all instances. We talked about that earlier, continuous focus, continuous, you know, evaluation of where I am, who I am, what do I want to be? Mm-hmm. Now, what if it's not me? What if I'm feeling stuck because of my leader? Mm. You know, and I've had students come to me and they say, Phil, I love what I'm doing, but oh my God, this is becoming poisonous to work in this environment. When does that person, you ever had that scenario where a client is saying, you know, I love it, but what do I do? What would you tell them?
So I would start looking at their brand, right? Because I think they have to position themselves so that they become opportunity ready. Right. Mm-hmm. Because they may not have the support of that leader who's going to champion them into another role, or even want to release them into a next role. Because sometimes you're just filling a spot where somebody is like, that is getting done and I don't have to think about that. So I'm going to leave you there. Right. Or again, it could be that toxic environment that going to pair in your other example, just so that we can add to it, is like, you may not be able to leave. Right. So you may be in a position where I need this job right now. There's no immediate opportunities for me to go somewhere else. So I have to make this work. And that's the interesting thing, where you can leverage your brand to make your brand work for you. So one, you can leverage your brand so that you can perform better. So it's looking at how your brand can help you. Two, you can start creating opportunities of awareness where people take a look at what you bring to the table, and highlighting your skills and expertise that may not be what you're typically known for, because you are in a role where it's typically focused on this area. So bringing that to the forefront. Then also, what's your networking strategy? Right. So it's your job to, because you can control what you can control. So you can control your efforts around networking and building relationships and making sure that even though you're in this toxic place, one of the easiest defaults is to complain to the people that you're networking with. And that's probably one of the worst things that you can do. Mm-hmm. Right. Because that doesn't, I'm going to remember your complaint, not what you're awesome at. Right. Because I can remember that you're unhappy. So you've got to also control that narrative around you. And then, speaking of controlling your narrative, the other piece is, have you done the work to master your message? So when you introduce yourself, whether it's face to face on Zoom or in an online environment like LinkedIn or any internal networks, what messaging do you present about yourself? So oftentimes people's messages reflect the last job they were in before they applied for the next job, because it's like we're using typically historical references as opposed to articulating what it is we do now and how we serve. And that can change the conversation significantly when you do that.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me about master your message. You tapped on that real quick there. If you had a client in front of you and you said that, so tell me, Cher, what do you mean by master your message? What's that mean?
Okay, so it is a very intentional and strategic way of articulating what it is you do and how you serve now. So I have a format or a framework and what I use to help people articulate that in such a way that it's memorable, that people will want to either work with you, for you, champion you, learn from you, refer you, whatever it is that you need to do. But you need to make sure that you're positioning yourself in the right way, that you're building that credibility and trust. So a lot of people can't actually articulate what it is they do. Right. Mm-hmm. They, in a succinct way that I'm going to remember. And that's where mastering your message comes into play. Because if you can't articulate what you do, how can you expect someone, either your boss or somebody who is championed for you, how can you expect them to do that? Even though your boss may know what you do, but they, part of the mastering your message is talking about what you tap into to do what you do so well. That could be years of experience, passions, different perspectives, because you bring in perspectives from other roles, other opportunities to serve your clients or your team or the project well.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying some things that are very important. So I'm this person out here saying, you're telling me, Phil, you got to rebrand. Phil, you got to rebrand. Since I think mastering your message taps into branding and rebranding.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to come back to that fear in a moment, but I want to talk about a branding in this regard. You've talked to quite a few leaders. Mm-hmm. How many of our audience do you believe, they're really lacking in the understanding the significance of branding or how important? You have an opportunity right now to talk to our audience. You might have some people over here that missed the memo, right? As John O'Brien would say, they missed that memo. Talk to us about the significance or how critical it is for us to understand what branding does for us now in this hybrid environment that we're in.
Yes, it is such a powerful and important question because people typically default to branding in two major areas. One, for I'm looking for a job. And two, I want to be famous on Instagram and I want to work with brands and sponsors and all that kind of stuff. But the branding that I talk about in the hybrid work world is a present representation of who you are. It is a cohesive representation of who you are. Because in this hybrid world, someone may meet you online and not you, but your presence online before they ever meet you. Someone may have heard of you because they were talking about you on a Zoom meeting and they have yet to meet you, but that message also comes clear. So, or someone meets you face to face, or they meet you in content like this. So this is happening, right? And this is a part of these conversations. But so the power of branding is our ability, especially in this hybrid work world, is to truly and effectively articulate what it is we do now and how we serve. So what your brand, when you think about what needs to be factored into that message, you need to look at what are your performance objectives, right? So what are the things you need to accomplish on the job and how can your brand support that? You also need to look at your professional goals, both short term and longer term, and say, how can your brand support that? Then the third thing I ask people to do is, what are you asking for? So what are your asks? So in your performance objectives, what do you ask people to do? What do you need people to either connect you to help you with, to whatever it is you're asking? Again, when you're networking in your professional career or even what's next in that career, what are you asking for? Are you asking people to champion you? Are you asking somebody who knows Phil to get on Phil's podcast? What are you asking for? And is there something to support it within your brand to support the ask? So those are the things that will frame what you've got to do when you are developing that brand. And especially from that performance perspective, because if you are performing well on your job, if you are leveraging your brand in such a way that you can accelerate and capitalize on this opportunity to do really well, that only extends your opportunities for the future, right? Mm-hmm. And that extends your reputation because people talk about really good performers. And especially now in this space of branding, where it's like you can create visibility that didn't exist before. So you can go literally from that hidden figure to an influential leader if you do the work, because so many people are sitting on this brilliance. Either they're not being tapped into because people don't know it exists, or they don't see it enough to remember it.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful. So you mean to tell me, I'm that person that's probably more reserved. I get branding. I see branding as really, I'm kind of like, what is the word? I'm being
like bragging and
bragging. Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. Sorry. I'm bragging about myself. I don't think that's necessary. My numbers should be able to be enough. Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked about networking, we've talked about branding, but my numbers, my data, the goals, my objectives, my resume should be enough. What would you tell them?
I would say that the way people used to get to the next level is not the way people are getting to the next level, because the branded wheel gets the grease. And the reason why is because they become visible and stay top of mind. So it's not necessarily that they don't believe that you have the skill set or that you can do it. It's that they don't remember you when the opportunity arises, because those who are doing the work and those who are giving people the language to talk about them, those who are giving the proof that they can do what they said, what their brand says that they can do, those are the people who are remembered. Those are the people who are actively getting opportunities. And what we're seeing now is, it's just, you do need to invest in what is your, what I call a personal brand action plan, right? And there's levels to branding. Not everybody needs to be on a thought leadership pathway, right? Not everybody needs to be there. It really depends on what you want. There are some people, so I have three stages of branding. So, and they all, there are three strategies really, and they all, you'll find that throughout your career, even with myself, you'll vacillate from one to from the beginning to the far end. So the first one is having a ready brand. And that means that you are opportunity ready. So people are, when they look you up, you have started to motivate them, but you've also started to influence what they think about you, because you've given them the language to talk about you, and you are your best source. So you have a credible and professional presence when people look you up. I would say that probably about 65% of professionals just need a ready brand, right? But then the next phase would be an active brand. So that's where your brand, in your role, especially within your performance objectives, it can be a powerful tool to help you do better at your job. So a lot of people who have client-facing roles or business development roles or visible leadership roles, anywhere in that space, or they are a subject matter expert, they're starting to think, how can I use this to help me accelerate my objectives, whether that's, you know, meeting more people, closing more deals, being in front of clients, winning the trust with our team, right? If you're on a project or whatnot. And then the final role, and this is, it's kind of thinking, if you could think of it like a spectrum. So it just keeps on going along the dial. And as you go along the dial, it's more effort required. So we've had the ready, right? We have the active, which is role-based, where you have to get active and leverage your brand for your role. And then it goes into what I call driven. So that's when you want to have a higher visibility. So that may be a higher company visibility, as opposed to very localized in your section or in your area. You may also have aspirations to be an industry expert. So your brand is going outside the company, but representing the company on a bigger level. So you might see stages in your future, whether you're representing the company or whether it's just your thought leadership, right? You may see yourself on podcasts. You may, and again, it's a scale. So it's just a sliding scale of effort, right? So depending on where you're at and what you want to accomplish, the visibility that you may need to accomplish because you want people to understand that you have the skill set that currently is not being tapped into, but you can prove you can do it. And then it also gives you access to what I call the hidden opportunity market. Because what we're seeing right now in companies is that, again, what I said before, the branded wheel gets the grease.
Yes.
Those same people are getting tapped to speak on behalf of the company, whether it's at a professional group or within a community group or within a women's group, a men's group, a whatever, like a women in technology, whatever it is, or women in telecom, for example, whatever. They're being tapped to speak and represent, represent like AT&T, for example, or they're out there, and that's an opportunity. They're co-creating content. So that could be anything from employer branding, right? That could be so the internal communications. It could be about talent retention and acquisition, right? It could be for sales, marketing, all those things. What we're seeing now is companies are tapping in to their, what I would call an employee influencer. And those are people who have solid brands, solid reputations at work for their performance and for who they are and their influence. And they're saying, hey, let's create content together because it's more authentic than creating commercials.
So, you know, this is so phenomenal. I want to We're wrapping up, actually. The time has
flown by.
You know, so I got one question, one final question before we wrap up. So you've shared a lot. You've shared a lot about networking. You talked about being mastering your message. You're talking about being real in the moment. You want to talk about active. I want to ask you a question. A lot of this might be overwhelming for some people when it comes to branding. So now I'm frozen in fear. You know, I'm frozen in fear. I don't know what to do next. What do I do? Well, what would you say to the audience that's like, I'm kind of like hesitant to make any move? What would you say? How do I manage that? I'm sorry.
Right. No, it's a great question because it seems overwhelming, but then you have to sit there and say, well, what do I want next? Right. And how can, based off of what I've done, what are the things that I've done that supports what I want next? And that could be what you want next could be within your role right now. What are the performance goals I want to achieve? Maybe you want to change your brand within your team. You want to perform differently, or maybe it is jumping to another section, another team, whatever, a new project. Maybe there's a new level of client that you want to work with. Start with the goal. And then look at how the things that you've done. So this is what I call owning your awesome. Taking a look at your experience, taking a look at your approach. You may have a methodology or approach or a mindset on how you serve the project, client, or team. And then take a look at that. And then start to draw out that work so that you can articulate it. I want people to think of their brand as a tool at work. It is not just for job hunting in the next company or whatever. It is an active tool to help you show up better and do what you love, do more of what you love, even in the job you're in right now. It is a powerful tool. But again, I think the easiest thing is take a look at what you need to accomplish. What are the tools and skills and experience that you leverage to do that? Take a look at the audience that you support. So you can define, well, what's important to them, and then start working on the message so that people can see that clearly. And that alone is a good start. That will get the juices flowing, and it's just about on to the next. Because now it's about, well, how do I make sure that I'm intentional about my positioning and how my brand can support me doing this stuff? And that becomes a little bit more technical, but that's actually what I do. I work with teams and individuals to create a brand that works for them at work.
My goodness, I'm still on owning your awesomeness. I'm sorry. I'm on that one. You've been sharing little tidbits of information. And I truly believe that our network audience will benefit wholeheartedly from what you've shared with us on today. So final thoughts. Last tidbit of information that you would love to share with the audience, and it could be on branding, and it could be on getting unstuck, or it could be, hey, check me out. What do you have coming down the pipeline? Just floor is yours to share. What would you
absolutely say? Thank you. I would definitely recommend that everybody really take a second look at how they're leveraging LinkedIn and not looking at it as a job seeking site, but as a professional home for your personal brand. You should always be networking, always be connecting, always putting out, again, your message, mastering your message and putting it out there. And while you're on LinkedIn, that's the best place to get in touch with me, learn from me, because I'm always putting content out there. And you're going to continue to see a lot more of this thought leadership, especially as I'm working on my book and sharing stuff and putting stuff out there. Because
you got a book coming.
I'm working on it. Yes. Coming. Yes, I am. And it's coming. And I'm really excited about that because I've been in this personal branding space and I've evolved, and you know, you iterate to innovate, and I've evolved over the last 10 years, tapping into all of my experience to do this and do it well. And the one thing that I can say is connect with me. Look me up. You can follow me, or you can go click further and actually connect with me if you got questions. And again, I share a ton of content, and LinkedIn has now set up where if you go on my profile to the right, you'll see a little bell icon. Ring that bell icon so that you don't miss what I put out there, because it is for, I focus on the professional at work. So helping you go from that hidden figure to influential leader through the power of personal branding, both online, face-to-face, and on Zoom. They all matter, and you have to have a plan and a strategy, and that's what I share so that people can figure that part out.
Well, there you have it. Our network audience out there, our network national audience, I want you all to know what a powerful session we've heard today. Own your awesomeness, master your message, understanding that branding is the key to helping you launch further. And you got Cher out there who's like, hey, reach out to me if you have a question. I want to thank you. And I want to say, do it all and be powerful while you're doing it. We want to thank you all, and we'll see you at the next session. Cher, take care. We'll see you on LinkedIn. Everyone have a great day.